Fra Orlo's last sentence touched my mind in a similar way. And in a similar way, I overreacted. My face flushed, and my heart beat faster. It was just like the moment in a dialogue when Telenes has tricked his interlocutor into saying something stupid and is about to begin slicing him up like a carrot on a plank. "Each sack was followed by a reform, was it not?" I said. "Let us rake your sentence and say that each sack led to changes in the maths that are still observed to this day." That Fra Orlo was now talking in this style confirmed that we were in dialogue. The other Fras stopped peeling potatoes and chopping herbs and gathered around to watch me get planed. "All right, call him whatever you wish," I said, then snorted, because I knew I had left myself open. This was the equivalent of me falling on my arse after one little nudge from Fra Leo. I should never have brought up Kephidocles. I was going to pay for that. I couldn't stop myself from shooting a glance out the window. The kitchen faced south into an herb garden that filled most of the space between it and the closest of the tangles, the ones cultivated by the very oldest Fras and Sures, so that they wouldn't have to walk very far to get their chores done. The roof on that side had a deep overhanging eave to prevent sun from shining in and making the kitchen even hotter than it already was. Sur Tulia and Sur Ayla were sitting together in the shade of that eave, directly beneath the window, cutting up tires to make sandals. I didn't want Tulia to hear me get planed because I had a crush on her, and I didn't want Ayla to hear it because she would enjoy it so much. Fortunately, they were explaining something to each other, as usual, and had no idea what was happening in here.
"Call them whatever you wish. What a curious thing to say, Fiderasmus," Orlo said. "Let me see. May I call them carrots or floor tiles?"
Titters flew out from all around, like sparrows flushed from a belfry. "No, Pa Orlo, it would not make sense to say that each sack was followed by a carrot."
"Why not, Fiderasmus?"
"Because the word carrot has a meaning different from reform or change in the maths."
"So because words have this remarkable property of possessing specific meanings, we must take care to use the correct ones? Is that a just statement of what you have said, or am I in error?"
"It is correct, Pa Orlo."
"Perhaps some of the others who have learned so much from the new circle and the reformed old Faunians have noted some error in this and would like to correct us."
And with the placid eye of a viper tasting the air, Fra Orlo looked about at the half-dozen Fids who had encircled us.
No one moved. "Very well. No one here wishes to support the novel hypothesis of Saint Proc. We may continue under the assumption that words mean things. What is the difference between saying that the sacks were followed by reforms and saying that they were followed by changes in the maths?"
"I suppose it has to do with the connotations of the word reform," I said. For I had given up and was willing to let myself be plained, not because I liked it, but because it was so unusual for Fra Orlo to expose his views about anything other than stars and planets.
"Ah, perhaps you would elaborate on that, for I am not gifted with your faculty for words, Fiderasmus, and would be chagrined if I failed to follow your argument."
"Very well, Pa Orlo. To say that there were changes seems like a more Dyaxan phrasing, raked clean of subjective emotional judgments, whereas when we say reforms, it gives the feeling that something was wrong with how the maths were run before and that
we deserved to be sacked. The Pangendrums needed to come in and mend us."
"When you put it that way, Pa Orlo, and in that tone of voice, you seem to suggest that the changes that were made need not have been, that they were forced on us wrongly by the secular power." I stumbled over a few words because I was excited. I had glimpsed a way to corner Orlo. For those reforms, those changes, were as fundamental to the maths as going to Provener every day, and he could hardly take a stand against them. But Fra Orlo only shook his head sadly, as if he could scarcely believe what thin gruel was being spooned out to us in the chalk halls.
You need to review the Seculum of St. Cartus.
A Vaut, who spent a lot of time peering through telescopes, were known for taking an eccentric approach to the study of history, and so I did not laugh at this. A few of the others exchanged smirks.
Pa Orlo, I read it last year. What you read was probably selections from a translation into Middle Orth. Many of those translations were influenced by a sort of Procyon mentality that took hold during the Old Mathic Age, not long before the rise of the Mystagogues.
You giggle, but it is obvious once you begin to notice it. Certain bits of it they translate poorly because they are skittish about what it means. Then, when they get around to choosing selections, they leave those bits out because they're ashamed of them. Instead, you should go to the effort of reading Cartus in the original. It is not as difficult to follow Old Orth as some would have you believe.
And when I do this, what shall I learn?
That in the very founding document of the Mathic world, St. Cartus herself emphasizes that it is not an accommodation to the Seculum, but a kind of opposition to it. A counterbalance.
The consent is fortress mentality? Suggested one of the listeners, trying to bait Orlo.
That is not a designation I love, said Orlo. But if I hold forth on that, the stew will never get made, and we'll soon have 295 hungry avowed calling for our heads. Suffice it to say, Fiderasmus, the St. Cartus would never have accepted the notion that the secular power can or should reform the maths. But she would have admitted that it does have the power to wreak changes on us.